Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
How does that feel, though, to, like, see your shit in that space?
How does it feel? It feels... Even though,
wait, I ain't gonna hold you. That's not the first time you've seen your stuff on screen. Mm. Seen it on screen a million times, but, like, now it's, like, a mainstay, and you know what I mean? Like, you're a person they go to for... How does that feel?
It feels right. It feels... what's the good word? It's a surreal thing, right?
Right.
Because it's like, you know, I was with that product
right.
when it was a sketch, and then when it was a piece of fabric, and when it was all of these different, you know, stepping stones into actually to the finished garment. So it's always kind of cool just to see people and see people receive the products in such a great way. So,
right,
it's exciting.
You see your stuff on TV in these movies. Mm. You said it's surreal. It feels like the first time every time, I'm assuming.
Absolutely, for sure. For sure.
And the excitement and the novelty.
It does not stop.
Wow, that's pretty dope.
It does not stop.
Can you tell us about the next appearance that the Solomon Lawrence brand is going to make?
Yes. Okay, so I know a lot of people kind of know me for, like, my activewear.
Right.
And the tracksuits and stuff. So the tracksuits will be making a debut within the next few weeks. So you guys will see that on social media. I was fortunate enough to be brought on board to design and produce tracksuits of said show.
If you can invite anyone to dinner, dead or alive, who would it be and what would be the meal? What would you ask them and... where would it be?
Ooh, that's good. Olivier Rouston.
That is Balmain, right?
That's correct.
Yes.
I'm going to invite Virgil Abloh.
Tell us why. And what are you guys going to eat?
You know what? To be honest with you, my first thing is I want to say crab legs because I'm selfish and I love crab legs. But these are monumental people, so... I don't want to get my hands dirty like that, so I'll be a little on the bougie side. I'll probably do like a nice little sea bass, maybe a little side of asparagus.
Are you cooking it for them?
Hell no.
What restaurant are you taking them to?
Let's go to Maestro's.
Maestro's, okay. And what are you guys talking about?
We are talking about the journey of blacks in fashion. We would talk about the pipeline from, you know, design or design from, like, beginning stage to actually landing a position in, like, corporate America as far as being a fashion designer and stuff. What does that look like? I think for blacks, like, the connection is a little frayed. Like, we don't really have, like, a seamless process to those opportunities. Hence, that's why a lot of black fashion designers are entrepreneurs, and they've had to kind of build their own networks because we're kind of placed outside of corporate, if that's concerned.
Right. What's exciting news? I don't want to tell you a business. Can you share that with
people? So I've been holding this information for, I want to say, maybe 2-3 months now.
Wow.
It's been a while. And partially because it's a little overwhelming, right?
Right.
But to answer your question, I submitted my previous collection. I submitted my leather jackets and my sketches for this next collection into New York and Paris Fashion Week.
Oh, wow.
And I got accepted into both.
The process was rigorous, though. Like, number one, we know they don't pick everyone. Like,
yeah, it's a rigorous process. I mean, honestly, it took maybe 4 to 5 weeks for me to know.
Wow.
Like, I was sitting waiting for like 6 weeks. About 6 weeks before they sent me the approval. So, and I was just like, I don't think I'm going to get in, you guys.
How many like pieces are, like, what do you send them to?
So what you do is this. So you send them, I keep in mind, they're looking at everything. They're looking at your website.
Wow.
You got to send in your website. Is it legitimate? You want to send in your previous works, like your past collections. You want to send in your press kit. They want to know, like, where have you been featured on? Like, do you have anything as far as PR is concerned? You have to send that in.
Wow.
Then you got to send in your concepts for the collection that's going to be showcased on their platform.
Right.
What does that look like? What is your ideas? Yada, yada, yada. So I sent everything in.
Do you know how many people, like,
are 100?
Oh, wow.
100 brands from around the world.
And who's on the other end of you submitting the requirements? Who?
Creative director.
Is it one person? Is it a team of people?
A team. It may be a team of maybe 20, 30 people. Yeah, it's a big team. You got your stylist, you got your creative director, you got your event producer, you got your videographer, you got your modeling your model caster, your talent coordinator, PR people.
Do you have to pay to submit?
Yeah, it's expensive.
How much is it?
It's in the thousands.
Wow. For Paris and New York?
Both. Wow. Thousands.
So is it like two different, I don't know, nothing
two
about.
Two different registration
okay.
fees.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So you hit, it's over 10 grand.
And
over 15.
New York is where the buyers are.
Correct.
And correct. But Paris is where?
The same thing.
Same thing?
They have buyers there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you most excited about?
I would say I'm most excited about New York because I feel like that's just where the clientele is.
Right.
We do have some customers in Paris though, but the majority of customers are in that New York area. Like New York, Los Angeles are like the top on the website. So it makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm. Where were you when you got the news? That you were accepted?
I was driving. I was driving. So for context, like I've submitted in to 6 platforms. So 6 fashion shows. I got accepted into all 6.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, I got accepted into all 6.
Are you going to accept all 6?
Hell no. Because they all have their own fees and stuff.
Right.
Like some of them platforms are like 20 grand just to showcase.
A lot of people don't know that you have to pay.
Yeah, it's not cheap. And that doesn't even include like the production, like you actually having to build the garments. Wow. That's a whole nother cost. And then your traveling expenses and then your housing expenses. Yeah, that's expensive.
What are the 6 though? I know, New York, Paris, LA.
So how it's broken down is, so you got New York and Paris. Those are the ones that applied to. And then there's different agencies that house or showcase during the week of New York Fashion Week in Paris and stuff like that. So like let's say Flying Solo is a platform or who else? What is it? Mode New York or something like that is a platform. So there's different platforms that showcase, and then they send you their packages and like, okay, this is what we can do, yada, 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 yada. But you got to get approved first, so.
What are the big ones? New York, Paris, Milan.
Miami is big for swimwear.
Okay, Miami.
Yeah, it's big for swimwear.
Globally.
Yeah, no. Miami. People fly in from Italy just to showcase.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big.
Where's the other?
LA's more commercial. A lot of people do like to showcase in here just because just the connection to Hollywood.
Proximity, yeah.
Yeah, proximity, connection to Hollywood. So people, that's not my thing. I feel like I need to see a return. So I'm more like leaning toward buyers.
Right.
As opposed to press.
Right.
But, you know, the brands that are showcasing in LA, they just have the disposable income to where they can drop 20 grand.
Right.
Just to say, oh, so-and-so was wearing my swimwear or whatever the case may be. So that's just kind of how that works.
Wow.
Yeah,
and they all cost So you submit first, and then they tell you you're accepted, and then you have to pay the fees.
Mm. Now you could be an honorary designer.
Okay.
And like the house will seek you out and say, hey, we'll pay for all of the fees and stuff just to have you showcase. I've gotten those before too.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations to that though. Like, did you ever think upon starting Solomon Lawrence and taking it serious? Because you've been doing this for a while, but mm-hmm. did you ever think that you'll be at Paris Fashion Week?
That was always the goal. It's always been the goal. The thing is this. So I've always been pro runway, right?
Right.
But our journey to fashion is just a little bit different than everyone else's, just because of the funding that's required, right?
Right.
So I said, if I'm going to have to do this, I'm going to have to create a pipeline and build a brand and fund it and sell before I get to that platform. So that's always been the end game, to do runway. But at least when I do go to New York or whatever the case may be, I have a fan base already. I already have a group of people who have already purchased the products, a support system. So in the eyes of a buyer, it's almost like someone's trying to sign a record deal and they got a million followers on social media. It's just right. easier to have that conversation.
Right.
Because a lot of the brands that do showcase, this may be their first time coming out as a designer to the world. No one's never even heard of them before.
Right.
But they have the disposable income.
Right.
You know, and it simply could be a buyer from Neiman said, oh, well, we love that collection. And then boom, this kind of starts their journey.
Yeah.
So the hustle.
But you don't have to go to New York or Paris for buyers.
Traditionally, that's just where the offices are. The buying offices are in those areas. Like LA is at the tail end of fashion. So the garments are already produced here. Like, this is just, LA is where your stylists are, where your showrooms are, where people are pulling things for red carpets, for the Emmys and da 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 da. The garments are already done. New York is where they're buying production and they're dispersing those products amongst the stores.
Wow. I don't know anything about fashion. I just know I know Paris Fashion Week and New York Fashion Week and Milan are like the ceilings. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a little overwhelming.
So you knew that upon starting your brand, that's where you...
Always. And the crazy thing is, customers have seen SL ready to wear. They have never seen SL runway. It's a whole different...
It's going to be a surprise for everybody.
It will be a surprise.
That's dope. That's exciting.
It'll be unexpected for sure. In the eyes of the buyers are knowing that blacks are buying Louis Vuitton and Prada and Gucci. So for them, it's a numbers game.
Right.
We know what you guys want. We know what you want to buy. You guys are buying this. You know, fortunately, you have like Telfar that comes out with this bag and everyone bandwagons, which is an incredible thing.
Right.
So it's a blessing to see someone get that level of support. Which is why on a buyer side, it's advantageous for them to support that business.
Right.
And place in a source because they know that they'll get a return.
Right.
But for most black designers, it's a risk.
Right.
Because psychologically, it's like black designers are kind of looked at as less than.
Right.
Despite the education and the skill set and the yada, yada, yada. So
when you go to Paris in New York, do you have a team of people you bring with you?
Yes.
Who you bring with you?
So I would bring one of my best friends, so he will be coming, but he's also a fashion designer too. So like when we go there for fittings, because they have a whole week schedule prior of like meetings, fittings, yada, yada, yada. So if we need to get in there and do like any alterations or to any of the garments, like he and I would do that. Then I have Renee, like she's like my event planner. So she does a great job with that. Like she's good when it comes to like coordinating. So she's strong in that capacity. Who else?
You're not bringing your nieces with you?
I wish. I want to bring my grandma, to be honest. She wants to go. But I'm like, look. It's going to be a whole lot of walking, mama. So we'll see. Yeah, that would be cool, too, to bring my nieces. But It's a closed show. You can't even. You can't even get in. That's the cold part.
Of New York Fashion Week. Mm-mm. You got it. It's invite only.
Invite only. They if you go in there like, oh hey, can we buy a ticket? They don't even sell tickets.
What about Paris?
They don't sell tickets.
Miami?
Depending on the platform. So the thing is this. You know, every platform is different.
Right.
And every platform, their end game is different. Their intentions are different, right?
Right.
So the platform that we're showcasing in, the people that are in the room are editors, journalists, buyers. That's who consumes the seeds. There's no space for family and friends like that,
right?
Which is the show that I want to be a part of because I'm here to make a return. I'm not doing this for oohs and ahs.
Right.
This is not you did a great job. No. So, but there are some platforms that want to make a return. They want to make a lot of money. So they sell packages to the designers and they also sell tickets to your audience. But when you have a room full of people who are just coming to look and stuff like that, it kind of limits the opportunity for people of potential to be in those spaces.
Okay.
You know?
How many people be inside these?
Okay, so there's going to be 100 designers. Each designer can only bring 5 guests total.
Okay. And every guest that the designer's bringing has to do some type of work.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh.
Mm-mm. I mean, you get 5 family and friend tickets.
Right.
So, yeah, whatever you want to do with that, that's up to you. If you want to bring, that includes your family and includes your staff.
Right.
So if you want to say, I got 3 family tickets and 2 staff tickets, you can do that. If you want to bring your own models, you can do that. So that's kind of how that works. So you just get 5 tickets, that's it. So it'll be about maybe 500, 600 people at this space.
Okay. That's pretty dope.
Yeah. And then the models.
Is hotel included in those fees?
No.
Stay. Oh wow.
No.
They're making bread.
No, yeah. Mm-mm.
But they give you models, right?
They cast all your models. They cast your makeup artist. They cast your stylist. They cast your assistants that assist you the day of. The videographers, the photographers.
Wow. Well, that's a good deal, though.
Yeah, it's a production.
Yeah, you get the... I get it. Yeah. So there's a possibility that Naomi Campbell could be walking down the runway.
I wish.
And Solomon Lawrence, right?
Or let me tell you, her rate is probably astronomical. We don't even have to give me a good 20 years before I can get there.
I mean, hey, she might see that you are somebody
like
her.
Where you at, Naomi?
Yeah.
Because I got some garments for you.
Who is your dream female and male model? I asked you this before, but yeah. I'm pretty sure it changed.
I'm still steadfast on that.
Models.
Oh, okay. Models. London Knight.
Okay.
That's one of my girls. Who else? Whitney. That's one of the models I work with now. Ikue is another one of the models. I'm cool with my group.
Okay.
My girls, they snap.
Okay.
You know, my girls is cool. I ain't really, you know, my girls is good.
What did you think about the Met Gala? I feel like it's like changed over the years.
Well, you know, I think the Met Gala has kind of gotten away from the arts and it's just become like a lucrative business. You do know like,
they pay like 20 grand.
20, 30 grand, yeah. The designers, they pay for them to get in. So each ticket is maybe like 20, 30 grand from what I've been told. And the designers, they pay the rate. They pay that rate for so-and-so to walk for them or whatever the case may be. So that's kind of...
Yeah, I was reading someone, I don't know what designer it is. And it's not even, it wasn't even like a, I didn't know who the name was.
Sergio Hudson?
They pay like 100 grand for the whole... And that was excluding the material for the fashions. Like for the whole process, he said something like he paid like, well, I read that they paid like upwards of 100 grand.
Yeah, it's a mega business.
And people even a name that I'd like, that people.
But some of them are just backed by financial institutions to really have that. You know, some of them have really, really deep pockets to where I can throw $100
right
down the drain and be like, oh, this is, we spent 100 grand for the shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was best dressed at the Met? I mean,
Keke Palmer looked amazing.
She could have had a, she could have had something on her décolletage, though.
Her décolletage?
Like that, I said that.
Yeah.
People don't know what that is. Gotta... Shout out to me. I've been to Paris. My brother lives in Paris.
Oh, excuse me. Little fashionista. I would say Teyana Taylor was incredible.
Teyana Taylor never misses.
She don't miss. She doesn't miss.
Even on her bad days, she's there's something that.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the thing with Teyana, they understand the mission. They get that they understand the assignment, right?
Yeah.
Like you look at that, it is a complete homage to Karl Lagerfeld. Yeah. So complete homage to that. Definitely. Chanel. Who else? Jeremy Pope. 8. Incredible. Who else was? Carisha.
Yeah.
Bomb.
Yeah.
Down to the braided Chanel. Did you see the city girl? Like the braiding, the branding in the hair? Bomb.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, top tier. So she was one of my favorites for sure. Who else? I can't really remember anybody else, right, to be honest.
Okay.
City Girls, I mean, Carisha definitely stood out. Miami for sure. Yeah, and the thing is, you know, I think a lot of people that are on social media were conditioned to think that drama and mess is the only thing that we can absorb and retain.
Right.
And we can support, right? But in reality, people don't know what they want, right? And I think Kyle does a great job of going against the grain and showcasing talent. And sometimes it's not even like mainstream, right? It may not even be mainstream artists or singers or designers or whatever the case may be, but he definitely shares his platform in that capacity.
I have noticed that about Neighborhood Talk. And maybe that's why I was seeking out to them for, like, even with the award shows and shit, I would go to Neighborhood Talk first. I'll clock in with them first because the way they cover stuff, it's not as negative as the...
No.
You know what I mean?
And the thing is, if that's what you're going for, there's some of that. It's like a cocktail. Like, it's not just so heavy drama all the time.
Yeah.
There's like a Marriott there. It's right, just like right, that. Right. And then you have like your informative stuff, and then you have your spotlight on talent. So, yeah, I think just holistically, it's a great platform.
For Shout sure. out to Kyle, too, because you can't have the blogs, obviously, without.
Yeah.
The drama, right? I mean, it's junk food, right? At the end of the day, but the Neighborhood Talk definitely do a great job at kind of balancing. They do a better job at balancing it out than everybody else.
For sure.
I will say that. They have been my number one source when it comes to award shows, events. Mm-hmm. I would definitely, if I'm working, if I'm on a plane somewhere and I got to get off and I know that they're the Soul Train Awards or whatever, I'll go to the Neighborhood Talk first. Because I know that they go kind of summarize everything. Right. You know what I mean?
And you know what else? It doesn't seem so biased, right? It doesn't feel like payola.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Because some of these blogs, it just seems like promo, advertisement. Like, I think it's good if you have a blog to where you're like, oh, this person's just like right in the middle.
Right.
They don't lean on this side. They don't lean on that side. Like, I can come into that platform and kind of make my own assumption as to what's going on.
And that's instead what you should do when you have in the world of journalism. Or,
of course.
I don't know if we're calling that journalism or not.
Journalism.
Some people will argue with it, but they definitely do a great job at balancing the culture. You know what I mean? And being non-biased when it comes to the reporting and sharing of information. And I love how they follow up. I think they all kind of do this, but I like how they like follow up on the comments on, you know what I mean? Somebody, they'll post something about Cardi or Nicki and Nicki would be in the comments and they'll share her comment.
Yeah.
You know, versus the other blog would...
They won't say anything.
Right. Or they'll just share one side of whatever they want to share.
Got you.
You know what I mean? So shout out to the Neighborhood Talk. Shout out to Kyle's owner. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kyle for having that platform. And I understand that you can't have a platform like that without having the drama and the tea or the bullshit, you know, but you guys do a great job at balancing it out. And, you know, so shout out to you guys.